For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Living Lord Jesus, we thank you for your authority. We thank you for everything that you have done for us and for the world. And Lord, we just need you to help us understand it more so that we can live under that truth. And that's what we're seeking to do today and throughout this series. And so we simply ask that you would speak and you would help us to understand those things which you are teaching us. For your purpose amongst us, we pray. Amen. So, spiritual warfare. Whoop, whoop. Exciting and scary. And today is really an introduction. It's a kind of summary of the whole. You might want to keep that passage open because we'll be making reference to it. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. It's on page 1183 in the Blue Bibles. But it really is a kind of precursor. We're reflecting on one central core truth. Jesus has won.
Come on!
That's it. When it comes to spiritual warfare, we know that there is a daily battle for us because Jesus has already won, but he continues to leave us in the battle that we might learn how to fight with his authority. And in doing so, be strengthened and prepared for the fullness that he is making ready for us in eternity. And so it's appropriate then in the first Sunday of the Easter season, the first Sunday of resurrection, that we reflect on this. We have a defeated enemy, but we are still in the battle. And so how do we live in the battle? Because Jesus has not left us to fight this battle alone or unprotected. He has given us so many things with which we can defend ourselves and be on the offensive in the way in which we engage with this life in this world in all of its brokenness. So how do we do that? First of all, we need to simply know the truth that Jesus has conquered death. He has broken the power of sin. Sin has no power over us. It is still a struggle for us. We wrestle with it. We work every day at overcoming those habits, those things in our lives which are still a difficulty for us. But those things do not hold any power over us. We are already forgiven, even of the things that we will do tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. Jesus has won the victory over Satan and he has won the victory over all evil. They have been defeated, disarmed, and ridiculed by the cross. We worship and we follow a victorious Saviour who has completed the task. What he has asked us to do then is to continue to live our earthly lives under that truth and promise. We live with his grace while we remain in a battle zone. And it doesn't matter what we do in this life is a battle zone. Whether we want it to or not, we cannot avoid the spiritual battle. We have seasons where it is more intense and seasons where we experience great breakthrough. But this life is an ongoing battle zone. Our enemy has been defeated, but he is not going down without a fight. He will do everything he can to prevent us from growing in our relationship with Jesus and from flourishing as a disciple of Christ. Our wounded enemy is angry, and he wants to take out as many of us as he can. And so we need to take the battle seriously. We need to know how to defend ourselves and how to engage in spiritual warfare. And as we do that, we will see more of what resurrection life looks like, even while we are living on the earth. And so throughout this term, we'll be looking at the various tools and tactics that Jesus has given us for the battle. In this passage, we read, as Paul writes to the believers in Colossae, they were facing the same challenges in terms of spiritual attack, the same things. Paul wanted them to know and us to know that everything we need to fight flows out of the awareness of that truth. So we need to be absolutely clear from the beginning. Spiritual warfare is not something where we're on even sides. Jesus has won and he has the authority, and therefore he has given us his authority. Satan is out there trying to rob us of what Jesus has already won. He wants to take it away. But the truth is that he cannot unless we let him. He will try to take away our peace by throwing difficult circumstances or situations into our lives. He will try to rob us of our joy. He will try and take away our faith. He will try and divide our fellowship. And he will try to stunt our growth. He will try to do all of these things and more. But he does not have the authority to do that. We have the authority because Jesus has already won. If we hold on to that truth then, that we follow Jesus who is victorious, then the same power which raised Jesus from the dead will be at work in us, and we will be able to remain strong in him. So what does Paul tell the believers in Colossae to do in order to follow this through? The first thing is from verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. There's two verses, so beautiful and so powerful and true. Paul directs us to continue to live in Jesus, to dig our roots more deeply into him, to be built up by spending time in his presence, worship, prayer, reading the Bible, spending time in fellowship with other believers as church family and as individuals. These are the ways in which we grow and continue in our path with Jesus. I had a surrogate grandfather, a spiritual grandfather, when I was growing up, and his phrase was, "Keep on keeping on." Now, he was a man who'd experienced tremendous struggles, tremendous difficulty. And he was also one of the wisest, most faithful, most spirit-filled people I've ever known, and I miss him dearly. But that phrase has stayed with me since my teenage years. Keep on keeping on. When we face difficulties, when things come up against us, our most human reaction is to close up, to go inward, to push away from God because it hurts. Sometimes we blame him for our problems. We feel hurt by God. We blame him for something that's gone wrong. It knocks our faith. We give up. We lay down our relationship with God. We stop reading the Bible. We turn away from the spiritual things in our lives. We stop coming to church. Avoid our believing friends. We turn down opportunities for prayer. And we shut off from God. Why do we do that? Because it's human. But that is Satan's strongest and easiest weapon against us. It's his easiest tactic to undermine our relationship with God and take away the comfort and strength that we would find by drawing near to him. Paul instructs us that instead, when difficulties come, when we face things that make us feel hurt or cause us to be angry with God or want to pull away, instead we choose to lean into him. If we stay close to him, cry out to him when it hurts, dig more deeply into our relationships with people who have not had that same struggle, but who can support us through it. To choose to go to church even when it's difficult, when we want to pull away. If we continue and keep on keeping on, we will find that God somehow meets us in those struggles, in those difficulties. So much so that we will find many ways and reasons for gratitude towards God to overflow. Sometimes and perhaps often, this will happen whilst the difficult situation remains. Because we keep near to God. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. I hate to say this, but our thinking is vulnerable. Our minds are weak. There are so many ways in which our thought life can go in unhelpful directions when bad things happen or when something comes against us. I don't know about you, but quite often when something goes wrong, my first reaction is to blame myself. Something I've done. Is this me, Lord? Have I done something wrong? Am I somehow not in your will? Am I not following through? We can often look for answers or explanations for the broken things of this world. Why has this happened? Is it because of such and such? Looking for explanations or understanding. But sometimes this life, this world, which is a battle zone, things happen that do not have explanations and cannot be understood. We simply have to accept them, which we can only do when we are close to Jesus. Other times, perhaps we dwell on the difficulties or the challenges, and we allow them to have a bigger place in our hearts and minds than they really deserve. In all of these ways, our thinking, which is vulnerable, can be used to again turn us away from God to try and find human answers, human solutions, or human understanding. It's a mindset that can eventually begin to block God out, even if we're staying close to him. Even the wise and loving advice of friends and family members can sometimes take us to the wrong place in our thinking, if we look more to them than we do to Jesus Christ. Paul instructs the believers in Colossae and us today to be captivated by Jesus Christ in our thinking. And whatever wise, good, godly advice, whatever human instructions or understanding we are offered, to always hold it under Jesus himself. Life is hard. Jesus tells his followers that they will always have the poor, that they will be persecuted for their faith. He tells them that wars and famine will come. Jesus wants his followers to be prepared for the battle, not to assume that following him means that we will be immune from the hardships of this life before heaven. But he also wants us to know that he is victorious and he does have authority even over this broken world because he died and he rose again. And he has shared that authority with us, his followers, so that we, filled with the Holy Spirit, might live victoriously even while we endure the brokenness of this earth. We do not need to be afraid of anything that the world or Satan throws at us. Whatever comes our way is temporary. Things might have a hold on our bodies. They might have a hold on our hearts. They might hinder our growth. But they do not have power over our spirit. There is no authority in Satan or anything evil to remove the things that God has said about who we are, what we are becoming, and how much we are valued. The eternal authority of all the things that matter belongs to Jesus alone. He says that if we live under that truth and express that in our lives, passing the authority on to those whom we nurture in faith and the way in which we relate to other people, then we will see his victory and his authority coming true. Perhaps sometimes we feel about ourselves that something we've done is unforgivable. Perhaps we might feel that way about something somebody else has done. That is not God's truth. We might feel that perhaps God can't truly love us. The world might say that we or other people are worthless, unlovable, incompetent, unimportant, irritating, very replaceable. They might say all kinds of things to pull us and others down. But into this world, which speaks those negative things over us and other people, we choose instead to speak with God's authority the truth about who we are and who other people are as well. When we speak those truths into those situations, Satan is once again crushed. He is diminished by Jesus' truth because Jesus' authority in us is victorious. So do not let anybody or any negative thought take you captive, not about yourself, not about anybody else. Do not let anything that comes against you cause you to be in your mind thinking that God does not love you, is not on your side, is not preparing a path for you. But instead, let the authority of the risen Jesus lead your thinking into the eternal truths of God so that you, with your mouth and with your life, can speak out the truth of the victorious Jesus about who you are in eternity, about what God is doing in you and through you for his eternal kingdom purposes, regardless of the circumstances. Those truths hold and they have authority. For Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in his bodily form. And we have been given the fullness of Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him we have been circumcised by the putting off of all sinful nature, a circumcision done by Christ. We have been buried with him in baptism and raised through faith in the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. That is who we are and how we should live. And finally then, at the end, verse 15, Jesus has disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a spectacle of them and has triumphed over them by the cross. Paul wants us to know that Jesus has taken everything opposed to us to the cross. It was nailed there with him, and in doing so, he has triumphed over Satan and made all of his efforts, all Satan's efforts to separate us from God, look weak and foolish in the shadow of the cross. That doesn't mean that they won't still hurt. That doesn't mean that we won't still struggle with them. But the truth is that they look foolish because of the cross and the resurrection. We might not see it that way from this earthly perspective, but from an eternal perspective, they are so weak. They have no power over us. Physical things, ill health, financial problems, and the last few weeks, broken technology. Accidents, addictions, abusive relationships, many more things that Satan tries to use to bring us down, to separate us from the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. All these things are difficult. They are challenging. They damage us. And sometimes they are tragic. But we can face them. We can face them with fearlessness because of Jesus. Because he has authority over them. Because he has disarmed them from having power over us. They might knock us. They might damage us. They might pull us down for a time. But they do not have authority over us. Only Jesus does. These experiences do change us. Our faith might be rocked or cracked or even break, but it can also be remade in new and different and stronger ways. Without Jesus, these things would tear us down and trap us. We could become locked in despair and disappointment. We have a choice. Will we reach out for Jesus when those things happen, when they come against us? Will we find in him a new peace, a deeper joy, a greater hope, and a stronger love? Because that is what Jesus offers us. It is not that we should be exempt from the difficulties. But when we come under attack from them, we need to remember that they have already been disarmed. They cannot hurt us in our eternal spirits. And God's loving power has more authority to rebuild our lives in a way that is more dependent on him, more heavenly than whatever it was that we've lost in the process. If we are facing those kind of difficulties right now, then we need to pray for one another. We need to be fearless in declaring God's truth over that situation and asking him to come and to rebuild it in the way that he has purposed. All of the time, we need to be praying for one another that our hope would be restored in new ways. That we each would seek fresh and Holy Spirit-filled direction for the journeys that we haven't expected to take. We all need to find ways of trusting Jesus in every circumstance, acknowledging that he has the authority to rebuild us and things around us, to bring blessing out of pain, to bring joy out of sorrow. And so, as we approach this series, these are the truths that will see us through each of the things that we look at over the next 12 or so weeks. We can be fearless because we know who has won. Our enemy is already defeated. We are on the victorious side. So let's use this time to identify, to learn how to identify his lies. Learn how to identify and refuse his divisions, his tactics to pull us away from God. Let's learn how to speak more of God's truth into every situation, that we would have his strength to deal with every challenge, and that with him by our side, we will walk through this life victoriously, whatever comes. I wanted to end by reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the Message version. I'm going to read this as a prayer. If you only look at us, you may well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. This is to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there is not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we are not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we are not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. And what Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in this. And while we're going through the worst, we're getting in on the best. We're not keeping this quiet, not in your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you, alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So we are not giving up. Even though it looks on the outside as though things are falling apart on us, on the inside, God is making new life. Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Amen.
So we just declare the truth that God is with us in all circumstances.
Is my shepherd, he stirs my soul. Leads by Christ, dear water, He restores my soul.
Let's sing that again.
The Lord is my shepherd, He restores my soul. By still waters, He stirs my soul. Surely Your goodness and mercy chasing after me all of the days of my life. Even when I'm lost in the deepest, You wipe my tears, You stir my soul. You draw me into Your embrace, You stir my soul. Surely chasing after me all of the days of my life. Even when I'm lost in the deepest valley, I'll fear no evil. Even when the silence falls around me, I know You're near me. Even when it feels like we're separated, You're holding on to me. Holding on to me, even when the silence falls around me. You're holding on to me, even when it feels like a separated. You're holding on to me. Surely Your goodness and mercy chasing after me all of the days of my life. Even when I'm lost in the deepest valley, I'll fear no evil. Even when the silence falls around me, I know You hear me. Even when it feels like a separation, holding on to me. My best thought in the day.
is holding on to us. When the enemy wants us to feel isolated or overwhelmed, the ruler of all is holding on to us. We're not consumed because of his great love, and he will restore our souls. Wonderful promises and wonderful truths to hold on to. And we're coming to the end of our service now, but there is time to spend afterwards to have a coffee, to chat, and to pray. Because, you know, we're all going through different things at the moment, and we, by standing together, can really help one another to feel part of a community, that we're not alone, that God's got us. And I thought, just to close, I'd just pray that blessing that Paul is encouraging the Colossians with at the beginning of that reading. Father, bless us as we continue to live in you, rooted and built up in you, strengthened in faith, overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. Yes, so stay, relax, enjoy, and let's encourage one another.